All right, this is history class number 2, and we'll be studying Ponce de Leon. What did, never mind, forget that. We'll just go with this, and we'll pick up next week with anything. I'll do this without my notes, and we'll pick up anything I missed this week next week. All right, 1513. We're talking about not just history from South America, North America standpoint. What we're going to start dealing with is the actual exploration and starting points of American history on the soil of North America. When I say American, I mean North American history. So prior to 1513, I drew up the whole map of the world last week, and we went through the latter part of the 1400s, how it was Diaz went around the Cape down here, and then eventually Da Gama got all the way over to the Indies, and it changed a lot of things in Europe. We went through all that stuff. One of the things that I told you that happened was that going up into the North American region, a fellow named John Cabot discovered the North American continent as far as the North is concerned. He didn't do very much exploration. Matter of fact, all he did was basically get out on land, look around the beach a little bit. In some fashion, he said he's claiming this for the King of England, and all that stuff is really insignificant right now. But John Cabot and his son, Sebastian Cabot, made those discoveries into Canada, Newfoundland, different places like that. Another fella comes over and makes some different discoveries. The guy discovered Labrador and different places like that. Well, here's a guy down here, and his name is Ponce de Leon. He is the governor of what we call today Puerto Rico. And, of course, you know, Christopher Columbus, when he came to America, he landed right here in Guanahani. Isn't that a wonderful name? I always think of Hawaii when I hear that word, Guanahani. That's the name of the place. San Salvador, they changed the name of it too, but the Indians called it Guanahani. And that's where Christopher Columbus lands, in San Salvador. Well, what happens is Christopher Columbus has heirs, and the kings over there or the people over there in Europe, they're going to give Christopher Columbus, Cologne was his real last name, they're going to give his children some important positions in this area that we now call it Latin America, or we call it the Caribbean islands. Christopher Columbus's heirs are getting titles in this area. So a guy named a military man who spent all of his life in the military and then became the governor of what we call Puerto Rico, his name was Ponce de Leon. Well, basically, he got fired. They said, look, we need you to step aside because we're going to put this guy in control. He will make him the governor. So he was rich. He was a rich man, being the governor, and all this military conquest had made him a rich man. So he said, what I want to do is, all these northern explorations had been filtering down. In other words, these English explorers went over here. There's a big continent up there. Cabot had discovered, you know, what we call Canada today. So the different explorations, they go back over to Europe, and then when people sail from Europe back down here, there starts to be rumors that, hey, there's a lot of land up north somewhere. And then you've got islands, and some of you have been on cruises. Man, there's little islands, and I'm not trying to be geographically correct, but there's islands all over this Caribbean area here, and all of these islands where these Spanish people and Portuguese people are exploring, they've got natives on them. We call them Indians because they thought they were in India at the time. And all of these Indians are saying, hey, if you go up north, there is there's an island up there called Bimini. And on this island, there is a river that if you drink it, it'll make an old man into a young man. Now, this is what they're thinking. In the old patents, in other words, well, let me just say this. Ponce de Leon, he's heard all these rumors. There's an island up to the north called Bimini, and it's got a It's got a river on it where if men will drink it, it will make them young again. I want to go find that. So now he finds himself with a job, without a job. He writes back to the king and says, hey, I want to have authority. I'll spend out of my own pocket to go up there and find this island. So the king grants that, and they go back, and he sends Ponce de Leon a letter back, or a patent as they call it, and says, you've got the right to sail from wherever you are, wherever you need to, on your own dime. You can go find this place called Bimini, which is, we call it Bimini is what it says in the charter. Bimini is what it says in the charter. You've probably heard of it as Bimini, like the Bimini Road. We'll get into that in just a second. But what it is, it's one of the northernmost islands of the Bahamas. And so this, all these people down here on these different islands are saying, if you'll sail north, you'll find this island. And it has a, basically, for what you call this in this day and time, the Fountain of Youth. People pay Lord knows how much money to go in down there at St. Augustine and try to find the Fountain of Youth that Ponce de Leon was looking for in Florida, which is ridiculous. What it was actually, he was actually looking for a little island called Bimini. And that's what his charter said. It said, you can go and look for that island. If anybody else finds it within the next 3 years, he said, you got 3 years to find it. If anybody else finds it, we're going to write it down in history just like you found it. If Ponce de Leon was sailing around the ocean looking for this island and Brother Nathan would have found it, the king would have said, you didn't find it, Ponce de Leon found it. He's the one that's got the charter. So it didn't matter who found it. He gave Ponce de Leon the right to find it. And it wouldn't have mattered who else found it. Ponce de Leon had the right to find it, and he had the right to be the governor of it, and he had the right to make money off of it. He had the right to subdue anybody on the land that would give him any problems. So he had complete rights, plus whatever else he found. Should he happen to discover anything else, he had the rights to that. And so leaving Puerto Rico, he sails around to a couple of these islands, and he comes back to what he's going to do is he's going to leave from a port on San Salvador, which is where Christopher Columbus originally discovered. So what he does is he's got three ships now, and he sails off. And if you read the record now, let me tell you this, first of all, before we get into the story. And ultimately, what we're talking about is the discovery of the American continent. And we're going to go through each one of these explorers and tell what they explored and how people actually came to be on this continent, white people. There was people here, we all understand that, before European explorers got here. But we're telling the story of how Europeans came to be on the American continent. So what we're talking about here is basic history, and that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be anything like you've heard in textbooks and history to try to get people interested in history. This is going to be the history of it. So what you've got is this fella here, and Ponce de Leon, he leaves. He's got three ships. I think I was going to say something else there, but it slipped my mind. But it might come back to me in a second. But he leaves San Salvador, and he's got three ships, and he's going to sail up here, and he's going to try to find this little island right here. That's all he's looking for, in theory. And what he does is he sails off north. Oh, this is what I was going to tell you. We went through last week about finding the earliest source for history you can, and you're not ever going to find anything better than that. Then, if you want to know about Christopher Columbus, you try to find his own words, find what he wrote. And there are some of those things remaining today. In the case of Ponce de Leon, there was a Spanish historian whose name was Herrera, and that's as close as you can get. Herrera took Ponce de Leon's logs and copied from his logs this story that I'm about to tell you. And there's a lot more stories. Herrera tells a lot of this history. But he is the only source from from this time period that we have for Ponce de Leon. In other words, the logs that Ponce de Leon actually wrote, they're lost. Nobody knows where they're at, whether they got burned or stolen, or they'll probably be found in some Catholic attic or something somewhere sometime in the future. But this was from the same time period. A historian from the same time period wrote these things, and it's the only account there is. If anybody else says that, and many other people have come forward with documents that said Ponce de Leon did this, Ponce de Leon did that, but they were all dramatics and history revision, and they've been proved to be inaccurate. In other words, the places they said Ponce de Leon was, there's no history to reconcile that. So this is the only true history or the real history that you can find. And that is that he left from San Salvador in 1512. Now, I got 13 up here because all the scientists and the historians say it wasn't really 1512, it was 1513. But when the man wrote down, he said, on this date, 1513, we sailed here, or 1512, we sailed here, here, and here. So I'm just going to go with what the man said. If the man doesn't know what year it is, then I don't know if I would have sent him off to find anything. You know what I mean? It's like, Brother Nathan, did you know it's 2018? No. Well, I don't know that I'm going to even send you to the store for me. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't mean nothing like personal, but that's just an illustration to let you know. The guy probably knew what year it was when he wrote in his logs that it was 1512. So we'll just leave it. We'll just leave it at that. Oh, there is a lesson from that, but we don't have time for it right now. So he sails off from here. He sets his compasses and his, you know, all of his rigging for telling where he's at, navigation for navigational purposes, and he sails off in this direction. And as he's sailing up through here, he sails right by. In his logs, he gets on a certain date. He writes down, and if I'm not mistaken, it's April the 1st, and I could be mistaken about that. But about April the 1st, he sights land off of his left side. They can see it from a distance. He's a good couple of miles out, but they can still look out there and see that there's land there. And to him, it looks so small that they say, well, this is real small. We're just going to bypass this and keep on this present heading. And as he's doing that, he's sailing by the Bahamas, and right there's the place he's looking for. And there, if there ain't a lesson in that, I don't know what it is. Oftentimes, we're right on the place that we're looking for, and we'll go right back because it doesn't look right or it don't feel right. A lot of times it's good to go by instincts, but you might want to check into things a little closer. But he's looking off of his left side here, and he's seeing really what the king has given him a patent for. So all he'd have to do is to swing over there, and he would have found what he was looking for. And this is a strange place, this island, Bimini. There's a place called my pen's going to stop right. That's way out of scale. Can everybody see this little island I got squared around here? It's just one of the northern islands of the Bahamas. But off the coast, remember I said all these people on these little islands, they're saying, there's a place up north, there's tons of gold. And there's a stream that flows through there. You drink out of it and you'll get like, it'll make old men. So it's a mysterious place, right? Well, in the 1900s, they send divers down around here and they found what's called the Bimini Road. Whoever heard of the Bimini Road? That sound familiar to anybody? Well, you go down way deep in the water off of this island right here and there's roads down there, like old roads, 3,000 years old. And these roads run northeast to southwest like this, going away from the island. Bermuda's up here. And this is not geographically correct. I just want you to know Bermuda's the most mysterious place in this hemisphere is right up here. Well, there's roads running off of these Bahamas, especially this island right here. And there's more than one. There's parallel roads under the sea running up towards it. I mean, that's not history's mysteries. It's there. Go rent a boat and dive down there. You'll see them. And There's two of them running parallel towards Bermuda, and there's one running across the shoreline like this, just like there was a city or something down there with roads. And they're big. They're huge rocks. You go down there, and a man can lay down across them, and they're laid out in a pattern. It couldn't have been freak accident. So something about this place that all these people on these islands knew about before white people ever decided to ever come over here. There was something on that island that, something happened to it. Don't know what it was. But that's something for you to wonder about when you ain't got nothing better to do. Ponce de Leon, what's them roads doing under there? I don't know. At any rate, he sails from San Salvador, sails right by the place that he is heading to, and a great big storm comes up as he gets in this area right here. A big storm comes up, so he crosses the jet stream without really knowing, because this thing still hadn't been discovered yet. When it goes across that thing, it's real stormy, so he doesn't really know what he's experiencing other than the storm. So he crosses this thing. In other words, what I want you to keep in mind is he's not aware that it's there. And as he sails across this thing, he changes his heading a little bit. I don't know if he is doing that because he realizes he's off course, because probably what happened when he come across that stream, it probably pulled him off to the northeast a little bit. But me not being a sailor, I don't know too much about that. But I know he corrected course after that, and he sails in to 30°.8. is where he comes up to the coast of Florida, right there. And as he comes up, we'll say he comes in a little south of that, and he sails up the coast to what equates out to be about 12 hours, which is not, you're only traveling about 2 miles an hour, so you're not going very far. But he sails about 12 miles north, and he goes ashore at 30°.8, whatever that means for a sailor. But what it does, it puts him between St. Augustine Inlet. How many of you have been to St. Augustine? Just about everybody, probably. And it puts him in between St. Augustine Inlet, which is the inlet that comes around if you've ever been to the fort down there at St. Augustine. It puts him well north of that inlet and just shy of the where the St. John's River dumps into the ocean. You ever been there, to that place? So if you've been to that place, you're right on top of where Ponce de Leon steps foot into Florida. And all he does is he goes in there and he claims it. Says, we claim this land for the king and all this stuff. The history books show him out there with priests, which he didn't have any priests with him. Shows him out there with all this big ceremony. None of that stuff happened. It's all made up. They say, we claim this for the king and Queen Isabella and all that. Queen Isabella was dead by the time this took place. So he didn't say what they say he said and did. It's all stuff that's made up to make people interested in it. I'm more interested in what actually happened myself. It was more interesting. So what he does is he gets out here and claims the land. He gets back on the ship and he sails just a little bit north, and he doesn't make any more recordings for that day. But for the next day's recording, it shows him heading south. So I think he would have probably mentioned this, St. John's River, if he had got up that far, but I don't think he did. But from the records, he turns around and he starts sailing south again, and with calm waters, his ships get caught in this stream. And one of his ships, they're so overtaken by it, they don't know what it is. They've never experienced that before. One of his ships gets caught in it and carried away. They couldn't overcome the current. The other two ships were just outside of it, and they were able to get over here, and they come up to the shore. And I'm not giving you the exact place and stuff like this, but there's a river right in this place, and I'll give you some more details about this. When they come over here and they anchor their ships out here off the coast, and this is important because it's their first contact with with the native people. So they've got a ship missing now. They're going to sit here and wait for them to recover themselves and come back down. So they see these people on the shore, and these people are on the shore, and they're watching them out there anchored off the coast. And those Indians are over there giving them this number, telling them to come into the shore. So they get in their little boats, and they row into the shore. And when they get into the shore, the Indians that are there, they're like beckoning for them to give them their weapons. They're pointing out the weapons, saying, "Give us your weapons." And you know, I can't speak the Indian language, and I'm sure there was probably nobody there that could either. I'm not sure about that at all. A lot of these Indians off of the Bahamas and on the shore and down here in these islands spoke practically the same languages. So not exactly the same, but practically the same languages. So there was some communication available. But they were saying, "Give us your weapons." And the Ponce de Leon's men were like, "We're not giving you any weapons." So just like every other encounter with the indigenous people or the savages or the Indians, they attacked them. One guy comes up behind them and clocks a guy in the head, knocks him unconscious. He doesn't survive. And so they said, "Okay, we surrender." Ponce de Leon and his men all gave up their weapons, and they started lighting on the rest of them. They were going to kill them all. And so what they did was they ran, a lot of them military men, they ran up and took refuge around this river and waited for this ship to come back. When the ship comes back, see, now they took their boats, they took their oars, they took their weapons, they took everything. They were helpless. If that other ship wouldn't have come back, there'd been no way to get back out to their ships, and there'd been no way to get anything done. So these people come in, get the rescue. That was their first encounter with indigenous people. And I lost my pen right here. Okay, so here's what happens from there. They finally get out of that situation, get back in their ships. They come down here. It's very hard to get around the Keys, the Florida Keys. They give an account of that because this stream coming out of the Gulf is really fighting them hard to sail around in those types of ships. They come out here and they sail around here, and there's some islands off the coast of Florida here called the Tortugas, and a lot of pirate activity out there. So they come out here and find that. Then they sail north from there. They said they killed a bunch of turtles there. That's why it's called the Tortugas. That's the way they survived. They ate a bunch of turtles. When you hear Tortuga, you think pirates and mystery and pirate treasure, but all it really means is turtles. So the Spanish language. That's why people love the Spanish language. In English, we say turtle, and everybody goes, "Oh." In Spanish, tortuga. Wow, that's wonderful. It makes it sound a lot better. Anyway, they sail off from here, and they come up along this coast, and they find what is, if you look on the map today, it's Port Charlotte, North Port, where Ruth's grandpa had a house down there. But they find this area right here, and there's a bunch of islands. They get in between these islands and the coastline, and they're repairing a ship, one of their ships that needs repairing. They're repairing it. And they, for a couple of days, these Indians are just rowing out to them on canoes and attacking them, and they're trying to cut the anchor points on the ship and trying to kill them. Now, this is all unprovoked stuff. In the modern English history, you're being taught that the Indians were good, corn-growing, turkey-killing, wonderful people who just wanted to help out, when in every account that you find of new settlers or new explorers coming to America, the first thing that they met with was getting killed. Every time. You might have one exception, which is Plymouth Rock. When the English people come ashore from Plymouth Rock, what they found was when they come ashore for the Plymouth settlement, what they found was hospitality in the form that all the Indians had died out and there was nothing there but ready-made houses. And that's about the only peaceful entrance Americans, or what we call Americans, Europeans, ever had into this country. The rest they had to fight for. So they're here repairing their ships, and they're getting attacked every day, and they finally get their ships put together. And once they do, they sail out. They sail down this way, and then they sail back this way, and they sail around Cuba. what they were going out here looking for. I guess they were still looking for this little island right here. They sail off the coast of Cuba and sail back up this way. And by this time, they've been on the ocean a long time. And you've read the story over and over in history. These people get out here on the ocean for a long time. They get homesick and they want to go back home and do whatever they do when they're at home. But by this time, they're getting discouraged. So look where they're heading. They're heading right where they're looking at. And they get discouraged. And so Ponce de Leon says, I tell you what, we're going to take two ships and we're going to go back to San Salvador, and we're going to send one ship back up to the Bahamas. Matter of fact, he even gets closer to the Bahamas and he stops on one of these islands, and the only thing they find on this island, this sounds kind of weird, but they find one woman. One woman is living on this island. They say, hey, we're looking for this place. And she's like, well, I know where the place is and I might get help. So they take this woman with her. And so they take this woman with them and they're sailing back around here again. They're looking for this island, and that's when they get discouraged and they said, we're going to send two ships back here and we're going to send one ship on to look for this place. So Ponce de Leon and his one other ship goes back, and they go to a couple of places first, but then they head on over to San Salvador. So they've had a few stops. I need to tell you that so the rest of it will make sense. Well, this ship that they left comes on and finds it. And they explore it, and they explore it from coast to coast, up and down, looking for the Fountain of Youth. And there's no Fountain of Youth, and there's no great riches, and there's nothing there except for an island. So now they don't get the riches, they don't get the gold, they don't get their youth, but at least they do have the place. This now belongs to the kingdom, but Ponce de Leon can make all the money off of it that he wants to. So by the time Ponce de Leon arrives back in San Salvador, this ship has already found it, and they're practically meeting. They're coming back to this island at the same time, and they say, hey, we found it. There's nothing there, and it sounds kind of anticlimactic, but after all, it is the discovery of this. So this Florida, when he finds it up here this St. Augustine, Jacksonville area, when he discovers it, he looks out there. The American history teaches that it was all flowers and everything like that, but I don't know when anybody that lives in this area has ever seen the woods covered with flowers. It doesn't happen. Florida, the floral aspect of it had to do with the season which it was found. April 1st. Which holiday is near that? Easter. So they didn't call it Easter, contrary to what they teach you in manuscript evidence for the Bible. Catholic explorers, Catholic people didn't call it, pagan people didn't call it Easter. They called it Pasqua for Passover. They didn't call it Easter, which is the argument that they use to say your Bible's not correct because it says Easter. They say, well, the Catholics called it Easter, so we don't want to do that. The Catholics didn't call it Easter. They called it Pasqua. They called it Passover. They called it exactly what the Bible rejectors are trying to get you to change it to. But they pass this place, and so it's the time of the Easter or the time of the Passover is springtime when the flowers bloom. So in honor of that season, they called it Florida because of the wooded area. It was heavily wooded. It was heavily wooded, and it already had heavy growth in the time of the Passover. So they called it Florida, which there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, but we don't have time for that tonight. So they had discovered not only Bimini, but also the land of Florida, and the rest of the history that you'll get out of the exploration of the North American continent won't have anything to do with Ponce de Leon. If you go to St. Augustine, in order to get a few dollars out of you, they'll tell you that Ponce de Leon practically built Washington, D.C. Is it not true? And it's never going to be true. And it's pretty uneventful. He fights with Indians a couple of times, which what red-blooded cowboy loving America don't like that part of the story. But besides that, it's pretty much uneventful. It's pretty anticlimactic. The guy sails off looking for riches and a fountain of youth, which he really was looking for. But that wasn't the basis. That wasn't the basis of his. I mean, he didn't leave San Salvador. I'm going to find the Fountain of Youth. It's just that he had heard that that place had stuff like that, and that the gold was probably what he was looking for. But the island and the discovery of this place called Florida is what is his claim to fame, and that's the, but in his own estimation, this was just an island. In other words, he thought if he sailed up this place far enough, he could just sail around it and he'd be right back where he was. And so he thought he had found this super giant island, and his other ship had found this little island which was connected to the Bahamas. They found out there's not much to the superstition surrounding the island. They just know that from this point, 1512, there's a bunch of stuff up here that we can probably discover, and a bunch of wealth and all this kind of stuff. So that is your first expedition into the southern part of the United States. Like I say, a little bit anticlimactic as far as great things taking place, but that's the beginning of it, and that's where we'll pick up next time, maybe week after next. We'll need to get well into the Romans chapter 5 next week. Lord, no, not next week. Next week we won't be here. Easter Sunday is on. Easter Sunday is next week, and then Ruth's got to go to a wedding next week. Her brother's getting married, so we won't be here next Monday. So week after next, we'll do Romans chapter 5, and the week after that, we'll get back on the history lesson. Lord willing, we'll do that. All right? Pastime for the first time this year. Brother Nathan, how about praying and dismissing us?